This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What's the punishment? This person, even though he's not currently at that, according to the question, was not currently married, still actually is considered muhsan. The meaning of muhsan, someone who is currently married with a nikah on sahih, which means a valid nikah, or previously was married, which means if he was previously married, then he is capable of getting married again. At least in theory, an assumption, obviously. So if you've already experienced the halal, then going to the haram after experiencing the halal is going to also be punishable as an adultery. So therefore, actually, the same punishment would be execution. Can maqasid be used as a proof to derive a ruling, guidance, or more to recognize the benefit of independently derived rulings? I mean, the question is really actually maybe a little bit vague, because it depends on what area we're talking about. The specific areas in the Sharia that are very, very, you can't really make them open for speculation or just based on benefits and so on. There are specific rules, like anything related to dima, such as the subject of blood and safety and so on, plus anything related to the subject of zawaj and talaq and these things, that is very specific. So it depends on which actually maqsad you're talking about. But overall, these five maqasid, objective of Islamic law, they're the umbrella. So the umbrella, basically, if you're going to be legislating a specific rule based on, for example, new economical development, bitcoins, for instance, and if you're going to make a rule for bitcoins, and that rule is going to be contrary to the preservation of wealth, then something is wrong with the decision you made and the rule that you made. We can't alter the maqsad itself. We have to definitely change the rule that you produce because it does not serve the umbrella of the law. In terms of abrogation of the ayah, how many ayahs were abrogated in the Quran? Is there a book that mentions them and explains the reason why they were abrogated? As a matter of fact, it's a whole science within the ulum al-Quran, within the science of the Quran. There's one whole section called An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh. And the ulama, they wrote not just one book or two books, volumes of books. There is an entire, actually, about an encyclopedia of about eight volumes, An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh. So how many ayat were abrogated? Not that many. In terms of the number of abrogation, not that many. But just to understand the abrogation of the Quran, it's what you call today amendment in the law. So the law will be produced, and then at some point, there will be an amendment that will happen afterwards. That amendment is An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh. So the later one comes to abrogate the previous one. Could abrogate the law completely or partially. Could abrogate the law completely or partially. And even when it abrogates the law actually completely, it could abrogate the ayah altogether by removing it completely from the Quran. As Allah subhanahu says in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, قَالْ مَنَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِيَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا وَمَثْلِهَا. That if we abrogate one ayah, أَوْ نُنْسِيَا, which means we remove it. نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا وَمِثْلِهَا, we bring something equivalent or better. So there is always a hikmah and wisdom behind the abrogation. It was not necessarily mentioned in every ayah, but definitely there is an encyclopedia on the subject of Nasikh wal-Mansukh. Procreation. Is it permissible to withhold pregnancy for young married couples for a few years for personal reasons such as performing hajj, traveling, and so on? The answer is yes. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, back then they used to use what they called al-azl. Al-azl was their contraceptive methods, actually, to avoid insemination and pregnancy. And Hadith Jabir radiallahu ta'ala wa arda, قال, كنا نعزل على أهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والقرآن ينزل. We used to practice azl during the time of the Prophet ﷺ when the Qur'an was still coming into revelation, which means if there was a prohibition against it, it would actually would be mentioned to us in the Qur'an. Since there was no prohibition, it was permissible. So yes, it's permissible for a husband and wife to delay, for example, having children, a pregnancy, for whatever reason, obviously. But definitely, my recommendation, don't wait too long, yani, because biological clock is not going to wait for you. Is boxing or UFC fighting against preserving life? I'm honestly, in terms of the fiqh perspective, yes, definitely, it's actually is not right. Now, practicing boxing, or practicing, whatever kind of style, is okay. Go practice as much as you want. Even if you have to do with another person, well, as long as they have the proper gear to protect themselves from harm, that's okay. But punching people in the face and, you know, kind of like bleeding almost to death, and sometimes, subhanAllah, leave them with disabilities, is not acceptable. I know we hear a lot of people to be, mashallah, heroes and words of kind of, but Islamically speaking, that is not actually worthy of your praise in that regard. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Another question about the same thing now. Again, I say practicing is okay. Go practice boxing, practice, you know, MMA fighting, jiu-jitsu, whatever you want to do. Do that, that's fine. Kickboxing, do this. But again, it doesn't mean that you can have to fight someone until you break their leg or their arm or their hand. There are many questions about hudud. We're going to talk about them next week, inshallah ta'ala, such as what's the punishment for rape and all these things. What do scholars say about the hikmah, the wisdom behind Allah's abrogating these verses of stoning, of the stoning? The abrogation of the ayah, I mean, there's really no specific definitive reason for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's His will. If Allah wants to abrogate an ayah by removing it completely from the Quran, that's His will, as He mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah. So it's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's no specific hikmah that was mentioned by the ulama. Some of them, they say it's just to give us the ruling that, look, you are allowed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He removed some of the ayat from the Quran and kept the hukum and the ruling in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it sinful to not give sadaqah on a schedule? Can you do automatic sadaqah weekly, or is it more blessed to do it consciously? No, actually, if you put your sadaqah, alhamdulillah, on automated, auto pay, to send it to organizations, to the poor, to the zakah, kafil yatim, and so on, that's barakah, that's khair, alhamdulillah. It should be okay. Obviously, alhamdulillah, when you did that, you did it consciously, that you're going to be doing this weekly. And it's always better for you to give a consistent sadaqah like this, even if you don't really pay attention to it. Just bismillah, make it out to pay, and that's it, we're done. You get your reward for it, inshallah, azza wa jal. It's more barakah to have something that is continuous, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, ayul amali afdal, which of the deeds is the best, what did he say? Qal adwamuhu wa in qal, the most continuous. Even if it was little. So make something that is continuous, even if it was little, should be okay, inshallah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.